Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Into the noon hour here on Cody and Gold. It is a Friday. I hope everybody's having a good start to their week. And maybe some of you are already enjoying the weekend. Good for you if that is.
I've got some bourbon in the desk if you'd like to start the weekend.
I mean, maybe 1 o'clock hour. I don't know if the noon hour's smart for that.
Because it's beers for Bink on Saturday, it feels like we should be drinking
tomorrow.
Some beers at some point. Well, but tomorrow. I didn't bring any of those in.
It is all about beer tomorrow for beers for Bink. We got Pete Sweeney in studio, our Chiefs insider, of course, the editor-in-chief over at Arrowhead Pride. Busy day for you guys yesterday. Everybody wants to know how many wins the Chiefs are going to have now that the schedule is fully released. What's the answer? Pretty simple.
17-0.
Right. Yeah.
You always defer to Bob Fesco in these situations. And
in May, it's like
the Chiefs are going to go 20-0. No, it's a tough schedule this year. Now, I think you are starting to feel like they may end up splitting in the division, and that would be a win just because the division is far improved. And so, you know, you look at 3-3 there. Our lead analyst, Ron Kopp, went through the schedule on the site this morning, and you really look at the other teams and kind of say, like, we could see two losses here. And occasionally, and you guys know this well, the Chiefs will have this random loss to a team that they shouldn't lose to, like a Sunday nighter to the Titans or the Seahawks randomly on Christmas Eve, and they have to refocus. And so, I don't know. I think you're looking at 12-5, 11-6, and this seems bold, but that kind of feels like this team's floor to me, even without Tyreek Hill. Andy Reid with Alex Smith, I mean, he's always been, for the most part, even with Smith, over 10 wins, so it's crazy to say that in the NFL, just the amount of consistency Andy Reid has, and they reloaded, and they have Patrick Mahomes, so I think 11-6, 12-5 floor. And maybe if you can look a little bit better and the offense comes together quickly, maybe you get better than that. I tend to think 14-3 would get the AFC bye done. I just look at the schedule.
Yeah.
I think 13 would be a lot.
I feel
for
like
the one seed.
It's hard to get to that point, too.
I agree. And we're in agreement kind of on the schedule we were going through earlier, like everybody has today and last night as well, everybody's trying to guess where the losses are coming from. And I have them 5-2 heading into the bye week. So they're one loss would be to the Buffalo Bills at Arrowhead, again, at Arrowhead during the regular season, a loss. And then I have them, as well as Tampa, on the road. And then losing at the Chargers, at Cincy, and then at the Broncos. So they would have two losses in a row there. And that gets them to 12-5, pending whether they're playing Week 18 or not, or actually having to play.
You're the big betting guy. What's with the Buffalo Bills being favored at Arrowhead? Isn't that a surprising thing for sportsbooks to have the Bills favored?
Yeah, seeing how the Chiefs just beat them at Arrowhead the last time they faced?
I think there's a couple reasons. One, as we know, it is only May right now, so that's part of the thought. And what's the build-up and hype? Remember, a lot of the lines are based off of where is the public betting as well. And if you look at even the Super Bowl odds or you look at the AFC odds, the Bills are the favorites to win the AFC. And it's a Bills team that in a regular season game came in and beat up on the Chiefs. And then we all saw the playoff game. You're right. But the Bills were, a coin flip away from beating the Chiefs. Right. So I'm not too surprised. But right now it sounds like you think there's good value on Kansas City there. If you like that, then there's a chance that you should hop on the Chiefs right now. Because otherwise it's going to go in the opposite direction.
Has that ever happened? I mean, we could probably go through every betting line in the entire Patrick Mahomes era after people figured out how good he was. I don't think he's ever been a home underdog.
No, and I was going to make
And he may not by the time we get there.
Yeah. I was going to make a similar point, too. As betting gets more and more popular here, when you're talking about the futures of the Chiefs winning what would be the Super Bowl championship, this feels like the vulnerable time to really bet on the Chiefs, because what we have, I think, preseason right now is Patrick Mahomes entering the second phase of his career. And with that has come some obvious uncertainty with some other teams being favored ahead of the Chiefs. So maybe in the Patrick Mahomes era, and you know, you're dating back to maybe before 2018, this is the best time to probably bet on the Chiefs, because once the season starts, like let's say they go to Arizona and no Tyreek Hill, they lean into Juju, MVS, Sky Moore, T. Kels, and they drop 40 on the Cardinals. That value is going to be gone. So this is the window now. If you want to bet the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes, this is the best time that I've thought of in like a really 4-year, 5-year window where you're going to get a lot of money back right now if you want to go and bet the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. Because I tend to think, because I believe in Andy Reid and all the variety that he's going to now have in what is a little bit of a new look offense, where the thought is going to change really quickly on the Chiefs being Super Bowl favorites.
No, I like the line of thinking. It makes a ton of sense to me. I think we all know what the national narrative has been. The minute at all there's a glimpse of the Chiefs offense still having the same production without Tyreek Hill, it's gonna jump back in the other way.
Am I the only one who thinks the Bucs are coming back a little? We just pretend like they didn't lose 2/3 of their offensive weapons. Like, we talk about Tyreek Hill all the time. We're just ignoring that, like, they're going to be absent what would have been their normal level of offense with a slightly aging defense, right? It has been getting older each and every year. A different head coach. And I know that it's Tom Brady, so I'm not pretending like he can't just win it. I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm not even saying they're not going to the playoffs. But I don't fear them on the schedule the way I fear some other teams on the Chiefs schedule. I think they can win that game. And I feel like everyone just puts an L next to that because they're on the road in Tampa.
Right. And I would tend to agree. Tom Brady really saved that organization by coming back. If you really zone in, Carlton Davis and Leonard Fournette were planning to leave. Who knows how the Godwin thing goes. You bring Brady back into the mix. All of a sudden, it is this realignment under what will be Todd Bowles, and I think they're trying to go for it. It seems like one more time. I don't know how much you guys buy into Tom Brady.
If I had $375 million, I think I'd make it one more time.
Wanting to go to Miami next year or to Fox Sports, I guess, depending on
or how. Or San Francisco.
But this feels like the last true run for the Bucs, and you sort of thought that might have been last year. They're doing it one more time. And I don't know. I think more times than not, unless your name is Michael Jordan, the last run doesn't really pan out. And so it's hard for me to buy into this Bucs team because of what you're saying. I just think it's been a few years. They got their Super Bowl. It just doesn't seem like a team that is going to reemerge from the woodwork and win the championship.
Because last year was the...
That was the...
Because they failed again. That was their gasp again. They won the Super Bowl, and he could have just gone out on top. He's like, no, I'm going to do it again. No, you weren't. Your team wasn't good enough. You could have gone out on top. You could have taken that 7th ring, beaten the guy that people started to compare you to, and just rode off into the sunset. You tried again, and you lost, and now you're going to try again. I think they're like a 10-win team. I think the Bucs are like a 10-win team, and I don't think they're going to beat Kansas City in that game.
I think their division stinks, so they'll end up winning 11 or 12.
Yeah, I just don't...
Well, that's part of the reason I think Tom Brady came back, but I...
Because of how bad the NFC and his division is? Yeah.
But I'm with you. There's a level of arrogance in Brady that isn't talked about that much on the national stage. You couldn't have built a more perfect ending to the greatest player of all time's career than beating Kansas City down, who was the new team, the new quarterback. You don't have to ever play Patrick Mahomes again. Now, you get to this Sunday night football game, everybody is going to be watching that game. And say Mahomes goes out and beats you, you've sort of ruined what would have been the perfect exit. And just sort of assuming, oh, we did it last year.
You just lose the division round again.
Right. Yeah. And it just becomes, in a way, going out with a whimper. I think Brady loving football so much, in a way, hurt what would have been the greatest ending maybe we've ever seen in sports.
Tale as old as time in sports. You always want to keep going. You're like,
Manning did it right, though. He won it and got the hell out.
He knew, and it was obvious.
And he was
though.
Oh, dude, he was so
cooked. That is the difference. Brady's still playing at an insanely high level, whereas Manning's arm was done.
Elway's the classic example. He won back-to-back, and he's like, bye, see you later. And, like, that doesn't happen very often. Almost always, they tell you when you're done. Not the league tells you when you're done. And it's not that Brady wasn't, because Brady is so good, so prepared, so ready. It's not that they'll be a bad team. It's not that he'll look like a bad quarterback. They'll do those things, but it's just not enough. You're not like your team isn't enough. There are other young teams, other young players. I mean, Stafford got past you. Old Brady would have never let Stafford get him.
No.
That guy, the career guy who's like put up good stats but never done anything, it's as much as you can say as good as their team was. That team never got past a Brady team. Like you let, and like for whatever it is, those teams just never used to do it. And so like I don't look at like there are plenty of times because like I think it's almost inarguable. There's only two parts of the Chiefs schedule that you're like, not bad. Like it's not easy, but not bad. It's that middle part of the schedule where they get the Titans and the Jaguars, and it's the end part of the schedule, especially if Denver at any point struggles this season and they're not quite up to the hype.
Yeah, they're the big
swing.
The last
four games.
The thing that bothers me about the Chiefs schedule, and I've said this on a podcast channels, and I wrote it in what part of one of my articles today, is the bye week. Because
week eight?
I usually get it later.
It's not great. And well, I'll explain, because you have seven games prior to the bye week. And then what you look at on the other side, because of the 17-game schedule, is 10 games, okay? 10 games in a row with no Thursday night football. So there's no mini buys where sometimes you can get three or four days off, come back Tuesday, reset, whatever. There's no break. And this is not the most popular take in the world, but I just think the Chiefs division is so much improved. It's hard for me to believe that they're going to get the one bye week. Now, if there were still two,
I'm with you.
I'm like, they're going to get one of these two bad boys. They still have a great chance to do that with the team they have, but I don't think they will. So what you're looking at with that week eight bye,
14 straight games to win a Super Bowl
and 13 in a row without a break at all. So if that was a little bit later, I think you'd feel a little bit better about it. 13 games in a row before the Super Bowl break, which is that week, is a college season and a bowl game. That's a lot. And let's go to a guy like Darian Kennard, right? Yeah. A lot of people are picking him to be the right tackle. He's got to play seven games in a row. He'll get a break. Then he's got to play another 13, and then you can play in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are going to get to that Super Bowl week if they're able to get there and just sleep the entire week.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's a great point. I was just trying to look up the other, what we view as contenders in the AFC and how
Bills are early, week seven.
Bills are week seven. Now, they do have a Thursday night game, to your point about like how the Chiefs don't have that later. The Bills will kind of have a mini bye after week 13. They play the Patriots week 13, and then they play the Jets the next week. So they have a little bit of a break there.
Ravens and Cincy are week 12, or week 10, sorry.
It's a little inside football here, and I'll tell you this. I don't think NFL players really like Thursday night football, but the bonus of Thursday night football, and Andy Reid does
once you get through it.
Yeah, he says Friday, go home. So what a lot of these players will do, you know how you see Mahomes in Texas in the offseason, a lot of times they'll go to their college or they'll go home and just get away from the facility. So Thursday night football sucks. Everyone is sore. It sometimes makes for bad football, but the bonus is you get a mini bye. So even if you're a team that has one of these early byes, the players look at it as another break, and the Chiefs don't have any of that. It is after the bye week. You got to go with us to the next 15 weeks if we're going to win this championship. If they're able to pull that off, and this is assuming they aren't able to get the AFC bye, if they're able to pull that off and run through that gauntlet on the sheer schedule alone, that'll be very impressive.
What's the floor, though, on it? Because, like, that's still the thing. Is this is their most difficult schedule so far, and they've had plenty of difficult schedules. They have one of the toughest strength of schedules. They had the toughest, I think, last year based on what everybody finished with win-loss total. Mm-hmm. They were still the number two seed. They still got all their home games. They had the later bye, but they still had to go through that, and they still got not quite to their goals, but it wasn't because of the schedule, right? They fell short because they played a bad half of football against Cincinnati. But it's like I still feel like with all that working against them, tougher division, tougher AFC, bad bye week, I'm like, do I really think they're winning 10, like less than 11? They've won 12 games or more every single year. Patrick Mahomes has been the starter for this team.
Well, I also think that this is true, too, and I just complained about the bye week, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess. Even before the schedule became official last night.
You knew the opponents.
The opponents were known, and there was not going to be a road that you really felt great about. I think it just starts to sink in a lot more when you could put days and times next to these games. I think the stretch down toward the end of the season makes you really feel like the Chiefs better start out fast and build a cushion. You're on the road for four of the last six games. I think because Patrick Mahomes has made it look so easy, we forget that road games are a lot harder to win. And, you know, they do use the cliche any given Sunday for a reason, because even if the team is you know, inferior. The Chiefs are still getting the top shot of a lot of these teams.
So is this the year that Patrick Mahomes finally loses a road divisional game? He's undefeated, which is remarkable
to,
in its own right.
To friend of Arrowhead Pride, Trey Wingo, that is never going to happen. He's a he is a great big Mahomes man, and he doesn't like these national heads always throwing slander at Patrick Mahomes. But I'm full of unpopular takes today. I think if there was ever a time where Mahomes was going to lose to the Broncos on the road, it's going to be late in the season where maybe they're finally in playoff contention. They're going into Sunday Night Football. They're at Mile High. Denver fans really feel like they have a quarterback. It's going to be a tough game to win. I mean, that is going to be a raucous environment, and it's going to matter a lot more to the Broncos than it does the Chiefs. And I think you got a couple of games like that on the schedule. There are games that are going to matter more to the Chiefs. I look at the Bucs game. I look at the Bengals game. I think
the Bills to a point because the way they got embarrassed.
You're right.
In the...
And I think it's become their number one rival, not in the division, is the Bills. The Chiefs care about that.
So it's at least as big of a game for them as it is the Bills.
But there are some games built in there that other teams I think are going to care about more, like the Colts come to mind. I mean, you know, people forget the Chiefs were the retired Andrew Luck, right? You know, there are things we don't even think about because they're not important to the Chiefs anymore. But
and every team in the West.
Every team in the West, right? It's just a little bit more important because the Chiefs have been so dominant. So it's a tough road, but look, I mean, this is the NFL. When you finish first place, this is what happens. You get matched up with, you know, the first place teams. And when you have a division that is clearly the best division in football, it's not going to be easy to necessarily get to the playoffs or Super Bowl.
Breaking news into Cody and Gold with Pete Sweeney. We have some number changes, according to Matt McMullen over at Chiefs.com.
Oh, huge news.
Nick Bolton switching to 32.
Oh, that's offensive.
That's that. I don't. 32 is an awful number.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Leo Chenal is now taking his number of 54. He's decided to take it. He did not want Daniel Sorensen's number, which was smart. I like that move.
Yes.
And Josh Gordon's going to 12.
It's a shame with Chenal.
Okay.
He's going to play better at 12.
I have a take on 12, but let me first start. Okay. So Nick Bolton takes Tyron's number. So
yeah.
Okay.
Chiefs are very quick.
Well, he's going to get the green dot, so he's got to start being the leader.
Very, very quick to say, forget Tyron Matthew. My Chenal take, this is disappointing because I had made the take as I was standing there at rookie camp watching Chenal work out in 49 that never in NFL history for a fan base was there going to be more of a reversal of fanfare of a number from 49 of being the scapegoat to one of the most favored players on the team. And that is no longer the case. And then, so no one is 49, it looks like right now, which is probably smart.
I think take a beer.
And then who will be a better number 12 for the Chiefs, Garrett Dieter or Josh Gordon? Because right now I'd still say Garrett Dieter.
Big news. Does this mean Dieter's time is finally done in Kansas City?
Oh, I don't know.
If they gave away Garrett Dieter's number, man, his number.
Yeah.
He's had that for years. If he's taking Garrett Dieter's number, are we done here officially?
Would you be stunned to see?
I know he's cut currently, but I just assume he'd end up back on the roster at some point.
First day of training camp, the Chiefs have a new wide receivers assistant, and there he is, the sheepdog in a visor, coaching up the receivers and showing them guys that Super Bowl ring he has from a few years back.
He's
a grad assistant at the pro level, essentially.
Yeah, he's going to be the coach's intern, essentially.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's as well. Number 12 for Gordon. I don't know if it really matters. Like, is he playing 12 snaps?
Does he have that many yards?
I'm serious. Yes. Like, I'm dead serious.
Over
like,
of yards.
Is he playing 12? Is he getting 12 catches this year for the Chiefs? I'm not sure he makes the roster.
Yeah, no, it's difficult to feel bad for these players who make a ton of money and have all this skill and can play a game. But if there's two positions that I really feel for, it's these fringe receivers and fringe defensive backs because they're not playing for a lot of spots.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're looking at 10 and 12 guys on the receiver room in the defensive back room that are playing for two positions maybe, because if you really go through it, and the Chiefs usually keep six receivers, it would be really rare for them to keep seven. So you know the top four. We don't even have to name them. And then you pretty much know the top 7 to 8 defensive backs considering all the draft picks. And I'm not even necessarily including the seventh rounders in that. So the seventh rounders are going to have to earn their position. So, Josh Gordon falls into one of those players. I'm not convinced he doesn't or he makes the roster. And third unpopular take of the hour, I don't know if Justin Ross makes it because I don't think these guys play special teams. You need the
receivers. You think Ross is the guy that they would hope they could sneak into the practice squad, though?
Medical redshirt is what I assume they're hoping for.
Broken toe.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Bray, broken toe.
Yeah, something.
Award.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be a thing.
Cornell Powell has exactly 0% chance, by the way.
Right. No, but it's tough because you need the guys at the end of your receiver room to contribute on special teams. And Justin Ross is a little bit oversized and a little too slow for special teams. So he's really going to have to make an impression of training camp to simply make it. And. I keep saying bad takes that fans aren't going to like, but that's just how I feel.
I mean, falling in love with a wide receiver is normally a training camp thing, but it's fine. We can just like Justin Ross for a little bit and go away.
He is certainly
it's like Dressler or whoever that
preseason fan
was.
Favorite yes. Right now that I think a lot of people are excited to see.
Because his freshman year mixtape looks pretty good.
He does look good. It was a while ago.
And then he had spinal fusion surgery, and I think, well, that probably affects a wide receiver's ability to play. I mean,
he came back and
medically cleared.
It's been a tough road too, because he came back and finally probably felt like he was feeling okay, and then he has the foot surgery too. So it's been a little bit of a tough road at the college level. You can compare it to almost like Clyde at the pro level here that we've seen, where he gets into a groove and then he keeps getting injured. So you'd like Ross to stay healthy and really see if he can push for one of those spots. I would bet no, but who knows? Maybe I'll be wrong.
Does that mean you think they're not going to add any more competition at wide receiver and corner? Because the Bradbury's name is going to come up, or whatever it's going to be, yeah. Or someone's going to be like, what if they sign Odell? Does that mean they're done? Because you're describing those position groups as having so many bodies, it almost doesn't need competition. Does it seem like they're done adding competition?
I don't think they need to spend anymore. I mean, they have so many players in there when it comes to just lottery tickets that they like, draft picks, late draft picks that they like, players from previous seasons, Corey Coleman, Josh Gordon, for example, that maybe could push for a spot. I think you can fill that room and be cheap about it. And, you know, at some point and at some position, you have to be cheap. And I think you probably are looking at those positions. I think Bradbury is interesting. And I think Ingram is interesting. I think they need to figure out Orlando Brown before, you know, maybe approaching that type of stuff and trying to figure out these contracts for these guys, because that would make things a lot easier. It seems like the next chip to fall for the Chiefs is Brown, and then maybe an Ingram. And I would feel like Bradbury would be another good addition. But then, you know, we just talked about it. There's two defensive back spots open. Now you're looking at one for like 14 guys. Like it's a very good problem to have, as they say.
Yeah, did you take the Orlando Brown comments from Brett Veach? I guess it's been 2 weeks, maybe, or a week ago now at this point, where three or four times he kept saying, like, yeah, if we get this Orlando Brown extension done, that then we'll have some more resources to work with going forward. It seems like to me that there could still be something, maybe even right around training camp, where every year there's, not with the Chiefs necessarily, there's one or two veterans that get moved during camp or right before the season. Of course, I'm hinting at Robert Quinn, for example. Do you think something
this
like
guy
that?
Guy loves Bob Quinn.
I'm a big fan.
Robert Quinn guy.
I know you want Bob Quinn. I think, it's always a possibility. I think you got to figure out Brown first. I'm down on the Chiefs figuring this out, because I think Brown wants top dollar, and I don't think the Chiefs can convince themselves.
Is this another Tyreek Hill thing?
In a
like,
way,
we don't want to pay you Trent Williams money. Will you take a little less, please?
I think there's a really good chance Brown just plays on the tag, because
when you do long term at left tackle, were they hoping Kennard's the right tackle and then Lucas Niang's healthy and all of a sudden
if that's
someone
the
else
case,
shifts over
they have
to
just traded him, drafted a left tackle,
right?
That is a.
If that's ultimately what ends up happening, then 100%, then that was a missed opportunity.
I had mentioned this. I think there is a, and I don't think this is necessarily going to happen. You're asking me what I think about Brown. I think he'll play on the tag, because I don't think he's going to agree to less than top dollar, and he doesn't deserve it, and the Chiefs shouldn't give him top dollar. There is like a break glass scenario that dates back to last year with Brown having that emergency injury where Joe Tooney slid over. He looked pretty damn good playing left tackle.
It was a half a game, but yes.
And before the Chiefs even acquired Brown, they had flirted Tooney moving to left tackle. And if there's anything the Chiefs have a lot of depth in along the offensive line, it is along in the interior on the team already, players that you would feel good about. So there is this break glass emergency, we don't want to even deal with Brown anymore thing where you trade him. Now you would need a partner. And I think you would need a certain amount of compensation.
Left tackle, you can almost find that. Always find that.
A partner that also is willing to give him the contract that he's wanting, though, as well, right? I mean,
100%. Yep. And maybe there's a team out there that does it. I think the most difficult part of that emergency glass situation is finding a partner, which, again, isn't a great sign for the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are backed into a corner in this situation. I just wonder how it works out. And the best thing that I can come to mind is I just think they punt it to next year.
We can keep talking about this on the other side, also get more bigger picture with the AFC West as well, because I want to ask you about the agent stuff with Brown and how much is that factoring into this as well. We'll keep doing that. Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride in studio on Cody and Gold.
You're listening to Cody and Gold on your home for Royals baseball and the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Dimes in for Nick today. We got Pete Sweeney in studio from Arrowhead Pride, of course, talking Chiefs football schedule release as well. I do want to pick up right where we were left off there on Orlando Brown Jr., and we were talking about maybe how the scenario could play out in the next couple months. How much is this agent stuff, you think, impacting, or do you think he's having issue with the agent because he's maybe dead set on a certain dollar amount here? Because he doesn't have one still, is that right?
As far as we know, he does not have an agent still. We haven't really had another chapter to this story since Brett Veach alluded to that.
But he was going to get one, right?
He's going to get one, and we're speculating here, so let's be clear. But part of an agent's job is to be honest with the player, and sometimes the player doesn't want to hear necessarily the honesty of bending a little. And we've heard from his mentor, which is very different than an agent.
Yeah.
And through the mentor, we have heard that he wants to be the highest paid left tackle in the NFL.
We also know that he got out of his last job because he would not listen to any argument that said he was not a left tackle instead of right. This sounds familiar.
Right. And so there was a scenario where he was disgruntled in Baltimore, got out of there, did a pretty good job for Kansas City, struggled at the beginning, settled in a little bit. You wonder if he had enough upside for the Chiefs to really feel like, let's make this the highest paid left tackle in the NFL? I would guess no, right? And I would say that they'd be right for that. And who knows? Maybe there was a scenario where the agent said, like we have to bend a little bit here. We can still get you paid, but let's be smart. Let's help the team. They're trying to build a dynasty here still. I know they haven't won the Super Bowl now in a few years. And, you know, he could have said, no, I'm going to find a new agent. And as far as we know, he hasn't done that yet. And it's created a stopgap stalemate for the Chiefs, similar really in a way to the Tyreek Hill situation. And let me tell you something, if the Chiefs are trading Tyreek Hill, they can trade anybody that's not named Patrick Mahomes and probably Travis Kelce, in my opinion. They said goodbye to Tyrann Mathieu and trade him. You know, they said, okay, we're good, we're moving on. So yeah, I think anything is possible with this scenario. But again, if you want to use the T word, trade, they're going to have to find a partner. And Which other team is going to want to do that?
The other thing you mentioned,
the highest paid left tackle, not many. No,
you mentioned the statement or the interview, I can't remember where that initially originated from, Orlando Brown Jr.'s mentor. It also made it pretty clear that he wasn't in any rush.
No,
that he's willing to wait this thing. He's willing to not be at workouts or any of that kind of stuff.
You know how Mahomes and Kelce and Jones bent a little bit to help the team? Mahomes has these guarantee mechanisms. Kelce took far less money than he would have made in the open market. And Chris Jones, I believe, just forwent his signing bonus. They bent for the team, and Brown did not. Tyreek was unwilling. And you know, that's why part of the reason why Tyreek's on the Miami Dolphins. And you just wonder, what is Brett Veach, who has become like the godfather in the background, when is his breaking point that it says, you know, we're moving on here from this? Again, I want to keep reiterating that my thought is he'll play on the tack. That's the best case scenario that I can think about of where the situation is right now. It's not the ideal scenario, but I think he can play one more year and you punt this major decision down the line. And who knows? Maybe that's ultra motivating to Brown for him to say, I'm going to play even better and make even more money than you guys could have gotten me on a deal for last season.
I'd be happy for him to prove that, but it doesn't seem like he's that player.
There's a limit, there's a ceiling. Right. I personally think, and this is me talking, I think he can make the most possible money right now by bending a little bit and agreeing like not to be the highest paid left tackle in the NFL. Is he going to be willing to do that? Does he even have an agent that can convince him to do that at this moment? We don't know. There's just a lot of questions that go into that situation. And I think it's holding the Chiefs up in a sense, because they would love to have a little bit more cap room stemming from being able to come to a long-term agreement with Orlando Brown Jr.
Which means now they're hoping to not have to be replacing left and right tackle again.
Right.
In the following year, because we don't know about right. It could be Kennard or Niang could show up, mm-hmm. but I mean, at this point, right tackle is an unknown going forward.
If you take Brown out of the picture, there's options, right? And I keep going back to the idea that before Brown and Trent Williams were things, they were saying that they would slide Tooney over. And, you know, you look at Kennard as well. Kennard played a little bit of left tackle at college. I think they see him as a right tackle, but there's options there. So it's not like the Chiefs are without options and with absolutely no leverage. There is a little bit built in. It's just, will they take the leverage they have? I don't know.
The fact that they were willing to move from Tyreek Hill does not make me discount anything.
Anything sure.
There was just simply a dollar point where they're like, we'll pay you $26 million a year. It's like, I want 30. You're like, that doesn't sound like a lot. You're like, no, we offered you a lot of money.
It also just sounded like,
please take that. And like, if Brown is demanding to be paid more than Trent Williams, who is definitively the best left tackle in football,
right?
I don't know why you would pay that. If you were ever on the side, and you and Nick both were, like if you were ever on the side of there's a cap of paying Tyreek Hill, for Orlando Brown Jr. wants to be paid the highest left tackle in the highest, higher than Trent Williams, I don't want to pay.
My only thing with that, and I agree, but my only thing with that is, and maybe this is where when your scenario plays out, Pete, where let's say he ends up just playing on the tag this year, then you're another year removed from giving up the first round pick. Because my issue has been like, are you willing that quickly, after just trading a first round pick for a guy, to go ahead and move on, either whether it was in a trade or whether it was just to say we're not going to pay him X amount of money? Whereas I think it's a little bit easier pill to swallow if you get him to play one more year and you're a couple more years removed. I still would question the trade, though, if you told me he wasn't end up being the long term answer at left tackle for this team.
This would feel a lot better if the Chiefs
make trades hoping. Sometimes it didn't happen that way.
It would have been perfect if the Chiefs would have just won the two games last year and won the Super Bowl, because then you'd been like, okay, well, whatever.
It's like the Frank Clark deal, like, whatever.
Sammy as well.
Sammy, sure.
I go back on those. And look, Sammy and Frank were questionable contracts, but they led to a championship. So you can't really question them, right? Because they were part of the championship team. Same thing in this scenario. Unfortunately for the Chiefs, it didn't. And now you can ask those questions in this particular scenario. And I would tend to agree. It hasn't led to a title yet. Maybe it will this year. And then you could make your tough decision next year. But I do think it's something to watch. And I just think it's the next piece that has to fall in Kansas City before we see anything else.
The more I see corny content on the TV from the Broncos and Russell Wilson, the more I'm convinced this isn't going to work. He is the corniest dude
Broncos
in the
country.
Entire league.
Let's ride.
Yeah, and then they did that weird draft call. This is so bad. Stop let's making terrible ride. Content.
If you
don't let Russ be an actor.
If you thought you disliked the Broncos before. Wait till you see Let's Ride over 100 times this year in interviews, and especially leading into Chiefs-Broncos games, because that is the new thing. That's the new Go Hawks. And now it is against what, as in recent history, has been your biggest rival in recent history.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
A lot of creative people Broncos country, all sit in a room ride. Together and they're like, that's what they settled on.
The creative people that sat in a room together were Russ Wilson and his wife, Sierra. And they came up with Let's Ride and said, this is it. This is the one.
How many other ones do you think they workshop before they got to Let's Ride?
It rubbed me the wrong way, too. Before they announced the Broncos trade, it's good that he did charity in Denver. I don't want to take away from his charity. But he showed up in like non-Broncos gear but wore the colors. Like, there's just a lot of it that like... It's going to be annoying to Chiefs fans, for sure.
He's cheesy.
I'm already
corny.
Annoyed. He hasn't even played a game.
The charity thing, you're right, is good, but he always seems to make sure there's a camera or photos nearby whenever he's doing anything good.
He's like asking to have another baby on Ellen. This is just too much. He essentially went on national television on Ellen and said, "Will you have sex with me to see our?"
You heard this, didn't you, Pete? You hear this?
Let's hear it.
So this is fun. I get to be on set with you.
Yay.
Okay, we're gonna have a little fun today, huh?
Yes. So guys, the funny thing is that Russ makes me really nervous.
I do.
So yes, you do. For some reason, I don't know. I mean, I kind of know why, but I don't know. I always feel so vulnerable when I'm with you in this setting. But
well, I do know everything about you, first of all, and second of all, I'm gonna make you more nervous right now. You guys want me to make her more nervous?
No, we don't. No. Why?
Well, I have a question for you.
What?
Serious question.
No, what is going on?
Can we have more babies?
No.
I mean, it would be perfect. Just give me one more at least. You know what I mean? Is that a yes?
We definitely can. We got a little time before we get there.
Oh, come on. All right.
Where's Nick when you need him? Right?
Was back in March.
This would be the perfect time to turn to your loyal producer and ask him for his thoughts on it.
Oh, we had a whole segment on it back in March.
How is she not ready to kill him? Doing that on national TV. My girlfriend Abby would kill me if I did that.
Reasonably so, Pete. No jury would convict her. Be like, man, self-defense. Pete on national TV asked me to have more babies. I had to do it.
I can't do it.
What do you want me to do? I couldn't. The shame was too great. Decisions were made.
Yes. And you know what it is? It's a nonstop flowing person that is going to give you constant moments like that for the rest of the year. And now he's against really the city's most hated team in recent memory. So.
Well, and we're still trying to decide because we all think the AFC West is great because it is. Yeah. They're just like, they're going to be a really good division. There's almost no, but it's too good. Like only two of these teams are going to the playoffs and one is the Chiefs. So the rest of you are going to have to figure out which one of you wants to get the job done really against the other to determine the second playoff team. And I don't think it's going to be Denver. As much as I like to make fun of the Chargers for being the team, the little engine that couldn't, and the team that always seems like they're going to be the pick to favorite, they're the better team. They got the better quarterback. Like, Russell Wilson's had the better career. Herbert's the currently more talented quarterback. Like, I think it's going to be the Chiefs and the Chargers that come out of this thing.
I will say this. I think the Broncos for years have had the most complete team, less the quarterback.
Yes.
Maybe in the division.
But they waited too long. The defense has been 3 years down the road.
The question is still to me, though, like, which Russ are we getting?
Mm-hmm.
We can make fun of him off the field all we want. I mean, he's still considered a top 10 quarterback, and for good reason, even with that bum year last year. Now, can he turn back the clock to 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and be that guy? Or is this the guy that we're going to see for the foreseeable future? Because if he's that guy, the Broncos still have the same problem. They are everything but the quarterback. If he ends up being that Russ Wilson,
2 years ago, 2020 Russ, he was really good.
If he ends up being that Russ Wilson, that one, that version we were talking about, then all of a sudden the Broncos become a lot more interesting. And I think they're a lot closer to the Chargers than we want to give them credit for with a straight face, you know. But, that's a major question. I think the same thing about the Indianapolis Colts. What does Matt Ryan have left? Because if Matt Ryan has
the Stafford resurgence in him, yeah,
enough left, then that's going to be a really good team that we're not giving any attention at all. And so, again, I think these are two big questions that we really won't find out until about week 4, week 5, And then we may be considering the Broncos and the Colts completely differently than we are now.
The coaching angle to me is interesting with the other teams in the AFC West, though, because we know McDaniels first year in Las Vegas, Hackett, of course, first time ever being a head coach out in Denver, and then Brandon Staley's in year two, and we know some of the issues that came up last year for him as a head coach. So for me, it's like when you're looking at the AFC West, how many of these coaches do you actually believe in as well outside of Andy Reid?
Well, I call
incomplete grades.
I think the Chargers coach lost his name. He's timeout instead of playoffs guy. Like that's what he'll be remembered to me until the Chargers are able to make the postseason. Josh McDaniel still has to.
I don't think he's any good.
Prove himself as a head coach. We saw he had a false start there in Indianapolis, and I don't know. When you have a situation like that, that does not give me the utmost confidence when you finally do take a job, because it seemed like he reneged on that job because he thought he was going to get the New England job. So now is he just settling? Now, I like the move to bring in Devontae Adams. I think if you're going to try to maximize Derek Carr,
that's the way to do it.
Go get him if he's available. That's his college wide receiver. He looked the best when he was with Adams. Adams has wanted to play with him forever. Let's see what he can become. And then with Denver, yeah, I think you still have questions when you're talking about a new head coach in Nathaniel Hackett, and can what they were able to accomplish in Green Bay happen in Denver, right? And I think you have the receiving corps, so long as just Judy's
okay. Yeah, the Judy stuff.
His partner asked to dismiss the charges today, so it seems like he'll probably. That seems like a good sign that things will be okay in this scenario.
That's my
for him
way too like not un or I should say way too uninformed read on it as well. It seems like this is going to be that something that's quickly swept under the rug. We'll see. But so long as that receiving core is intact, you would think that with Russ Wilson, they're able to put together a pretty good offense in the NFL. But there is still the question. So yeah, no, I think the Chiefs very clearly still have the head coach, which is the ultimate advantage because he's just put together winning seasons. To go this long since 2013 and to miss the playoffs one time in itself is impressive. And again, you know, they 4 years in a row running now, you're in the final four teams with a championship and another Super Bowl appearance. It's a very impressive run.
Especially when you took over the worst team in football. They were the number one pick.
That team
they
stunk.
They were a disaster. That team was awful.
That team stunk.
Were you a team reporter at that time?
PU. No. 14. I was an unpaid intern.
Unpaid intern. I thought
very quick to put unpaid intern.
Thank you, Kansas City Chiefs, for the no money I got for 6 months. Yes. No. I
How
do,
did you live?
Just kidding. I owe the Chiefs a lot for my start back then in 14, which is now getting to be like 9 years ago. Unpaid internships were fairly common, so I'm not killing the Chiefs here, and I owe them a lot for, you know, basically handing me my journalism career. But
Gold also
unpaid, nonetheless.
Gold also had an unpaid internship. It was here at 610.
But it was for credits for school. Pete was
so
Pete
you
was,
paid for it. It's even worse.
No, Pete was out of you were no, out of school no, or no?
It was a part of my grad program. So
you
I was
were grad
I was
school,
paying
yeah.
a little
so same
money.
Thing then. Yeah,
you both were paying money to
I
be
was
an
paying
intern.
Syracuse to work at the Chiefs.com. Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Well,
my
now
only
we don't
internship
even do.
Was paid. So you guys really lost
out. We don't even really do interns anymore here.
Thanks, Scripps Howard. Let's start it now. Let's find an intern. Who wants to be the intern? 913-576-7610.
Unpaid.
Call.
Jay Southland, Coast Service Text Line.
Why don't they call and tell you the reason they should be the Cody and Gold
we'll
intern?
We'll do live interviews for our internships.
Reason. I bet we could just have someone keep showing up and call them an intern. And then if they need me to sign paperwork for the school, I'll do that.
Pretty sure there's some legal reasons why you're not allowed to do that.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Why do you think we don't have interns
Hold
right
on,
now?
I've asked about interns, and we are allowed to have them, but it has to be for school credit. So just as long as you're in some kind of school. I don't care if you're 87. Enroll in school, get some credit, and we'll do it.
This does seem like something you may want to run by the boss. But
yeah. This feels like an ask forgiveness situation. I might say
like
that too
often. Like the text line situation with Nick, where he just tweeted out people's numbers? Is that type of situation?
he deleted that one pretty quick.
Sorry about that.
Typically, when we go through things like this, Gold has to be the adult in the room.
Okay.
He has to be the voice of reason to what rules would generally apply.
Right. Okay.
But I've asked about interns, and I was not told we can't have them, but I did know that it has to be for school credit. So whether you're 19 or 93 and want to be an intern in the show, you just enroll in college long enough to get an internship.
I would tend to think here in 2022, unpaid internships are not allowable. I would guess. But I look, What you could do, Cody, is compensate with some baked goods or maybe.
Well, you heard he's got, I mean, Nick negotiated the big new contract. So we figured like, maybe Cody should just pay for
just
the intern.
Just pay for the intern out of pocket?
Yeah.
Nick has told me there are some, you know, contract bonuses that can get you into the seven figs. Is that a rumor? Is that just a rumor? Are there some bonuses?
It has nothing to do with internships. Seven figures.
I think some of that money has to be used for internship. That was the stipulation snuck in there.
There you go.
I think we could probably figure this out.
Well, you could pay them on Venmo.
Random question.
For you, Pete, and over in the J South End Tow Service text on 913-576-7610. We've only got a few minutes for the random question of the day. So we'll step away from the cheese for a minute, Pete.
Okay.
And I'll ask you this question. What is your best in-person moment when you saw activity that you would qualify as Karen behavior? Yesterday at a kid's school day thing, like a carnival, my kid wanted to be dunked in a water tank thing. It's not like fully dunked. It's just like a bucket that tips over. She wanted her teacher to do it. She waited in the entire long line. She got in there, and the teacher was going to throw the ball that she likes, her old sped teacher, who's going to dunk water in there. There was a lady who, in the middle of it, said, "Hey, have you already had a turn?" to the teacher. "Shouldn't you let those kids who've been waiting this entire line go first?"
She yelled at your kid?
No, she yelled at the teacher.
Oh, she yelled at the teacher.
She's like, she has been waiting in line. She waited in line so she could be in there. She's like, "No, let someone else throw it." I was like, this is insane. What am I witnessing here? So I want to know, what moment did you witness in person that was similar to this?
I'll have to jog my memory.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something, too.
You've never witnessed?
Well, of course,
I'm sure. It's always like at a checkout line or in service. Like, if you watch somebody, like, at the table next to you, you're like, "I can't believe this person's..."
Yeah, no, obviously, we've all seen it. I'm just trying to think of...
That's the most recent one. Three or four times, Pete, she is yelling at this teacher to let some kid throw the ball.
So I was out to dinner, and it was at Farina. You guys know where Farina is? On the crossroad? There was a table next to us, and the guy had, it looked like his kid and his like kid's new significant other. That was the, and they were meeting the family or whatever like that. And he goes to the waiter. This was a man, so a male Karen. And he goes to the waiter.
We call those Todds.
Okay, a Todd. He goes to the waiter.
Chad, something like that.
I didn't know being a waiter meant I'm the one waiting. In front of what I would guess to be like high school kids, new SO, meeting the SO. My. I think if my dad did that to me at that age, I would be like, "Well, I'm not living here anymore. I am going to go live with any other family member that'll take me in." So,
like, the significant other here, please do not hit him with the "I didn't know waiting meant I had to wait."
And she's probably, or if it was the other way around and it was his daughter, she or he was probably like, "This is the family that I'm getting involved with." I don't know. You know, questions.
That's
questions abound.
Just such questionable behavior. I eventually told, I was like, she wanted my, I told the lady, by the way, I was like, "My daughter wants her to throw
and
the
Ruby's
ball."
And Ruby's a sweetheart. I mean, you shouldn't be yelling around Ruby at all. Gold, nothing has happened at Chipotle? I feel like Chipotle could be a place for some Karen behavior.
No, because I usually do online order and I run in, man. I pick it up and I leave. So I don't ever eat inside the Chipotle.
Right.
It's usually just a quick grab and go type of setup.
You can't stay in there for too long because you are Alex Gold of Cody and Gold at 610 Sports Radio.
Too many people will come up. Oh, I do have to ask you this.
They're always just looking for you at a Chipotle.
I mean, it's a good chance. If you were to camp out at a Chipotle near me, there's a good chance you wouldn't have to wait days.
What's your Chipotle? 39th Street? Which one is it?
No, I live out south.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, closer to 135th area or whatever.
39th is where I go.
Yeah. So.
Tough parking lot.
Nick's obviously not here today, and he's in Philadelphia. He was he had a flight yesterday, and he told us, I want to get your opinion. You've flown quite a bit back east, I'm sure. He says that you shouldn't wear shorts on a plane because it grosses him out and others out when people have hairy legs that sit next to them on the plane.
I mean, sometimes you have to. Like, I got a trip to Phoenix.
Yeah, it's hot.
This July. There is no way I am wearing anything but shorts.
I'm with you.
Okay. I usually fall in line with Nick. And this was not one of those occasions. I actually have an embarrassing story about Chipotle I'm willing to share before
we
do we have time for it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
This is so embarrassing.
Recently or?
It's fairly recently.
Okay.
I get Chipotle probably like one or two times a week, not as much as Gold, but I'm not what are you, top 5%?
Top 0.5. Yeah, top 0.5. Excuse me. 0.5.
So, okay, I got a humble brag here. I get done with the gym. I was working out, you know, and Chipotle is like one of the healthier fast foods. So
Go
in there. I did not pre-order. I think that's a great move. I've done it in the past, but I go on the line and I like kind of look back and I'm like, holy crap, that's Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And like, Chiefs players eat Chipotle, even though they're rich. Everyone loves Chipotle. Even you could be a millionaire and you could love Chipotle. And I'm telling you, this is a dead ringer. And I don't have his number. I mean, he's only been around the team. We haven't been involved in the locker room, whatever. So I'm like, let me just go say, hey, I haven't seen him in person in a long time, you know, just to kind of chat about how his offseason goes. So I go, Clyde, man, I haven't seen you in a while. How's the offseason going? He goes, who do you think I am?
Oh, no, Pete.
And I'm like, Clyde Edwards-Helaire of the Kansas City Chiefs? Because he was wearing what Clyde, you know how Clyde wears that, he wears a winter hat and like usually a sweatshirt and he had like nice shoes.
Dead similar man. Height?
And I said to him, just to make myself feel better. Similar height, similar build. Just to make myself feel better, I go, you get that a lot? And he goes, yes, a lot of people come up to me. And so I was like, okay, I'm not that guy, but I did mistake. And I'm sorry if you're listening, sir. I did mistake some Chipotle eater for a dead ringer, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
So if you just happen to see a 6'2" skinny guy who's a little, like, maybe mid-unshaven right now at Chipotle, it's not necessarily Alex Gold.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a twin in the city. You may know this guy. If you know him, you know who I'm talking about. You know, make sure it's him before you go and ask him about his offseason. That's all I'll say.
I feel like this guy could use this to his advantage as well if he really wanted to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes, doppelganger at F1, the future number one pick of the NBA draft.
That's
yes.
That moment, I mean, that's so great. I mean, how tall is Mahomes?
6'2", right? 6'2", 6'3"?
One thing we know, he's not 6'9", which is what Paolo Banchero is.
6'3".
Okay. Yeah. 6'9 and 6'3. There's a major difference in height there. There's a major discrepancy there. Pete, thanks for coming in studio, man. Go get yourself some Chipotle.
I'm not going to talk to anyone there.
Maybe you'll see Clyde out there.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Maybe you'll see that.
Maybe it'll be Clyde.
Told you that in confidence.
Coming up next, though, we get back to a little Royals baseball and whether on two particular players the clock is ticking.
Cody and Gold.
The doctor's evaluation was too much bone in your foot. You know what we're gonna do? We're just gonna fuse it all together. We're gonna make one super bone. That's their solution to this.
What's a super bone?
On 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.